Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Wednesday, September 19th. I'm Ray Graff. Today we welcome back veterinarian Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin of Del Mar Animal Hospital for the latest edition of Pets and Vets. If you have a question about your pet, now's the time to call. 800-348-2551 is our number. 800-348-2551. Or if you want, you could email us, voxpop@wamc.org. voxpop@wamc.org. But again, our number, 800-348-2551. Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin is here. She'll take your calls coming up on Vox Pop right after the news. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. It's our Pets and Vets program this afternoon, and here to take your calls is Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin of Del Mar Animal Hospital in Del Mar, New York, a USDA Category 1 accredited veterinarian. Dr. O'Loughlin is a graduate of Cornell University. She joined the Del Mar Animal Hospital staff in 1998. Our number here is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. If you have a question about your pet, and these shows tend to be very popular, so call now while there are a few open lines left, and then after that, when you hear somebody hang up, that would be the time to call. It's 800-348-2551. You can also email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin, welcome back.
Well, hello there.
I missed you the last time you were on.
I know. You were off in Maine.
Had a great vacation, and you're back from your vacation, and we're ready to get back to work, yeah?
Yeah.
This is autumn coming, and a lot of people tend to let their guard down when the weather gets cooler as far as fleas and ticks, but that's not always the best idea.
Oh, absolutely not. No, we are heading into the high season for ticks. So fall, spring and fall are the two times of year that the ticks are super active, looking for a nice warm body to get on and drink some blood so they can do their next life cycle. It's very, very important. And fleas are often very busy in the fall as well until we get a frost.
Mm.
But ticks never go away. That's the important thing, is that they will be around all winter long. Any day it gets up in the low 40s, they will come crawling out of their little hiding spots and be looking for someone to get on. I've seen ticks on dogs in February.
Hmm. But when the ticks are done feeding, they're dead, right?
No. They drop off and they do their thing and they lay their eggs. And eventually, yes, they do go on to die. But the next cycle is just waiting to...
Okay.
Join in the fun.
Well, the phone lines are loading up here, so we might as well get started. The number is 800-348-2551. Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin, our guest today on Pets and Vets. Michelle in Mount Tremper is first. Hi, Michelle.
Hi. Good afternoon, Dr. and Ray. Hello.
Hello.
Doctor, I have a 13-year-old Chihuahua, and he seems to be in great health. I do have a couple of vets, and I just wanted to get your idea. Maybe you can shed a new light on this. I think that they think I'm an alarmist, which, of course, I kind of am. But he's in good health. His blood work, I do twice a year. He's always very normal. But lately, in the last year, I feel like they're ignoring this symptom. And he seems to be straining when he goes number two. And often when he does go, it takes more than one time. I feel like he goes, and then when he's trying to walk away from it, he's sort of like owie in the belly. I mean, that's just my interpretation. He doesn't walk away briskly, as they often do in the winter. And he has to go a couple of times, and it's always very thin, and it just seems straining to me. And I have tried to give him a little bit of slippery elm, which seems to help, but he just won't eat his food when I put that in there. So if you have any good ideas, I'd love to hear them.
So question, are his stools formed or are they soft?
They're formed, but they're just not the right size. I don't know if that makes any sense, you know. And I have, of course, checked him for worms. And sometimes I just bring a sample in, especially if he goes right at the vet, and just let him look at it. And he always, you know, it's never a worm issue, at least lately.
Yeah. So, you know, one thought is he could have just a little mild colitis or irritation of his colon.
Okay.
And sometimes just adding a little soluble fiber to their diet. You can add a little pumpkin.
Would that be like the sweet potato I put in there?
Yeah, sweet potato or pumpkin.
Yeah.
You know, other options would be to ask your vet, now I know it's hard in a Chihuahua because they're little, but if anyone has done a rectal exam on him.
Well, he actually gets them quite frequently because he wasn't neutered till he was seven, and they're constantly checking his prostate.
His prostate, so. Yep.
Okay. He gets any, you know, unfortunately, he's one of these guys that in 3 months he's scooting and I'm getting them expressed, and he does it from the inside. So they are feeling around, and it seems that acupuncture helps sometimes.
Okay.
He also doesn't seem to have the same appetite, although he's, you know, in a good weight. So I guess when they get old, does that happen? This is my first dog.
It can.
I'm sorry.
He's 13 for a Chihuahua, he's getting up there, but he's not as old as some 13-year-old dogs. You know, he could have a couple of good years left in him.
I hope there's many more, but of
course, absolutely.
You know, I'll take what I can get. I just want him to be happy.
Yeah, and the other thing is there is an antibiotic called Thailand powder that has an effect on the colon, and a little sprinkle of that, but that is a bitter-tasting powder, so you do have to mix it up well in the food. But it only needs a little pinch. So that's something you could also talk to your vet about.
Okay. Could you put it in water and do
No, they wouldn't go for that. Usually you can mix it in the food and they will take it.
But. All right, Michelle, thanks a lot for the call. We have to move it along here. Carrie O'Loughlin is our guest. We go over to Kim in Guilderland. Kim.
Hi. I have a dog that developed food allergies in the spring of 2017. And she had some bloody stool. After many fecal tests, at one point, she was positive for Giardia, and that was treated. And then she continued to have the stool issues, so she went on a Hill's prescription diet. And I asked the vets about testing her, you know, allergy testing, and they say it doesn't work in dogs. And, you know, that's a little confusing to me, but I went ahead and did something I saw online called I think it's NutriScan, where they use saliva to test for allergies. And I got results back that she's very allergic to chicken and corn. And I just wanted to hear your opinion as to the reliability of this and if it is possible to test her for food allergies.
I would say that test probably is not reliable.
Have you heard of this before?
I haven't, but pretty much across the board, all of the dermatologists, because most food allergy shows up as a skin problem, although you can have food intolerance causing inflammatory bowel disease where they're going to have stool issues. So it is a sort of an allergy to food. But there's no good test for food allergy. The test for food allergy is to put them on a novel protein diet or a novel diet, which is both the protein and the carbohydrate are something the dog has never had before. And if they do really well on that, and then you reintroduce their old diet and they go right back to having whatever symptom they were having, that is your test.
That's what they wanted to do. It's just very hard to restrict her. She's a dog who eats things off the ground outside.
So, you know, the thing is, you may never have perfection, but as long as you can limit her exposure, you know, if she's sensitive to chicken, you know, if you don't feed her chicken and she occasionally picks up something outside that's similar to chicken, at least she's only occasionally going to have a problem. So, and, you know, there are some over-the-counter diets that will sometimes work for these dogs that you don't necessarily have to go the prescription route, because I know that does get expensive. You just have to play around until you find one that works for the dog.
So. All right. Well, this, just for your knowledge, this NutriScan was developed by a vet. So one vet tells me it's very reliable, but the vets at the practice I go to say it's not. So
I would have to agree with the vets at your practice, unfortunately. Everything I have ever read and been told by vets who have way more knowledge in this than me say they're not reliable.
Okay. Kim, thanks a lot for the call. 800-348-2551 is the number. Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin is our guest. When you do a test of food to see if the dog is allergic to food, that takes a long time to really...
It does. You have to be patient. It takes up to 12 weeks. So it's not like you can switch it for a week and then, oh, it's not working and go on to the next. You have to be patient. And it's hard because everybody in the house has to be on the same page.
Yeah.
You know, if you're trying a food trial and somebody comes in and gives the dog a pizza crust, you could be right back to square one.
All right, let's get another call in here before our first break. Karen in Pine Hill. Karen, you're on.
Yes, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I have a lovely dog, Gulliver. He's 15, and he has a granuloma on his left paw the size of a quarter. It's open and sore, and all I've been told to do is to put a bandage on it, wrap it around, and a little antibiotic cream. But it's an open, oozing wound on his left paw. He also is wearing a collar so he doesn't lick. It's called a licking granuloma. What else can I possibly do?
Oh, I feel sorry for you because lick granulomas can be very frustrating. Nobody really knows why dogs do this. They pick a spot and they lick it and lick it and lick it. And some dogs will do this for years. They tend to cause secondary infections, so you definitely need to treat the infection. And sometimes it means treating them with antibiotics for weeks and weeks. I mean, it may be 2 months of antibiotics because these infections can get pretty deep down into that granuloma, and keeping their tongue off of it. Sometimes is it right like over his sort of wrist area or is it down on the by the toes?
Yeah, but when I keep the cone on him, he doesn't lick it. He's not able to lick it, but that has not stopped. And he's on antibiotic again for his ear. He's always had a problem with ears. So he is getting an antibiotic.
Right.
Maybe he has to perpetually be on one.
Well, he may need to be on it for 4 to 6 weeks to get that to heal up. And you really need to make sure, they say, until it's healed both visibly and palpably. So you don't want to be able to see it and you don't want to be able to feel it before you stop treatment. Because otherwise it'll come right back again. So and sometimes pain relief, because sometimes they're doing this because they have underlying pain in that area. So I will often put these dogs on pain relief as well.
Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin is our guest. It's Pets and Vets on WAMC Vox Pop. 800-348-2551 is the number. We'll be right back. Vox Pop on WAMC. It's Pets and Vets today. Ray Graff here, joined today by Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin, and a few emails and then back to the phones, Doc. This one is from Catherine in Niskayuna. Catherine writes, I have a very petite cat who is about 4 years old. I've only given her dry food from what I've heard from other shows. You really recommend wet food. I understand you can't give me name brands, but could you possibly give me an idea of what type of food should I introduce and how often?
Well, for the average cat, if it's not, it doesn't sound like this is a weight issue since she said it was a petite cat.
Yep.
Really, any kind of canned food is going to be fine. If it's a weight issue, then you want to stay away from any of the foods that have gravy.
Ah.
You want to stick to the pâtés and sort of the straight meat varieties.
All right. This one is from Francesca. My kitten, roughly 8 to 10 weeks old, has a bad habit I'm trying to break. He uses the litter box, but occasionally will relieve himself on the couch. Food and water is not near litter box, so that's not an issue. He may still be learning, but how can I help deter this, especially when I'm not there to catch him in the act?
Yeah, kittens not using the litter box, I feel like sometimes the house is too big or the space they're living in is too big and they kind of
forget,
lose where they are and can't find the litter box.
Yeah.
So confining him to a smaller area for a while where the litter box is until you're sure he's using it, and then only letting him out when you're there and you can watch him.
What about more litter boxes?
Or more, yes, more, you know, scattered. Depends on how big your house is. If you got a big, big house, yeah.
So 12 litter boxes ought to do it. All right, this one's from Michael. And Michael writes, my 4-year-old lab licks and chews his paws, not obsessively, but often. He also licks and pinches his groin a lot. My vet thought it was allergies, and I kept him on an elimination diet for 6 weeks with an anti-itch medication. But when I discontinued the anti-itch, he was at it again. He doesn't break skin. What do you think? That's from Michael.
It sounds like he does have allergies, especially if he started doing it as soon as he came off the anti-itch med. So it could be environmental allergies, but if it's food allergies, 6 weeks isn't quite long enough on the elimination diet.
Okay.
So gotta stick with it.
All right. Over to the phones at Jim in Wappingers Falls. Jim.
Yeah. Hi. Good afternoon. We have an old yellow lab, and He recently lost his companion dog. Beagle passed away.
Oh.
And he's now getting, well, he's lost a lot of energy. I think he's depressed, aren't we all? And he's getting scabs in his skin, and then he's scratching them, and then he's leaving these big gaping sort of open sore areas where his skin is, his fur is falling off. And I don't know what we can do to soothe his skin. Is this a skin thing, or do you have any idea what might be going on?
It sounds like he might have a skin infection. So it may have absolutely nothing to do with the loss of your beagle. But also if he is stressed and depressed, which they can certainly go through a mourning period after they've lost a buddy. It, you know, any kind of stress can lead to immune suppression, and it could make him more prone to getting an infection. But it sounds like he's got a skin infection. So I would get him into the vet and get him on, you know, they'll probably want to put him on some antibiotics and get that cleared up. And then I always recommend, you know, I know it's hard with an older dog, but just try and make sure he's getting regular exercise, lots of TLC, lots of, you know, companionship, and they will get over the loss of their buddy. But
yeah, we get it to him, but he's you know, labs have this thing with the back of their hip area. They have some issues with that sometimes too, and she sort of has that going on as well. So he's not real as spry as he once was when he was a pup.
Yeah.
So, all right. Yeah, we'll do the best we can. All right. Thank you very much for your help.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Jim. And our number is 800-348-2551. Glenn in Catskill is on. Glenn.
Good afternoon. So, we have a larger dog. Her name is Dixie. And when she goes to the vet to get her nails cut, there's a lot of anxiety on her part and our part. And I'm wondering if there's anything we can do prior to her going to the vet to make her calmer.
There are, hang on one second.
Sure.
Excuse me. We have really started to use a lot more, what we call pre-treatment for dogs that are anxious, coming to see us, where we'll give them a light anti-anxiety, medication prior to their visits. And that will sometimes help. We have also found, the wonders of, hot dogs and peanut butter.
What?
For nail trims. Oh, yeah. If you can find the right treat that the dog really, really loves, it's amazing what they'll... I even... My own dog who hates having his nails done, now with peanut butter, I can get it done.
You're kidding me.
Yeah. Distraction. You know, they're busy enjoying their treat and you quietly go about nipping the nails. It doesn't work on every dog, but it certainly does help in some. So I think the combination...
Her nails had got quite long and we had taken her to a vet, and the vet was, he was very good, and then clipped them, and then we just brought it back again. Some other folks did it, but we had to sort of roll her over, and she got very anxious, and it was just a very stressful thing on her part and our part.
I also find for dogs that really dislike having their nails cut, I try to do them, you know, on the floor and try to handle their feet as little as possible. I'll sometimes literally slip the nail clipper under the nail without touching their foot, because it's the foot holding that they tend to hate.
Hmm.
So there are a couple of different things you can do. Pre-treating, you know, lots of treats, find some good treats that she really likes, and then try not to handle the feet too much when you're doing it.
Okay, so should we ask for this anti-anxiety medicine?
Yeah, I would talk to your vet. Everyone has a different, you know, modality that they would like to use. We personally have a drug called trazodone that we've been using, so you could ask about that.
Okay.
How do you spell it?
It's I think it's A-D-O-N-E.
Trazodone.
Trazodone.
Great. I appreciate it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Glenn. Appreciate the call. Chloe in Schenectady is next. Chloe.
Thank you for answering my call. My dog, Coco, she jumps up and grabs our hats off of our heads, and we want to know how to get her to stop.
She grabs your hats off of your heads. Aww.
Yeah.
Wow, I've never heard of a dog doing that before. Jumping up on people, yes, but... So one thing you can do, so if she starts to jump up, you know, you can sort of gently put a knee into her chest, you know, and say off, and then praise her as soon as she gets down. Another thing would be to have a leash on her and have someone who, if she starts to jump up, step on the leash so that she can't jump up and say off. It's a matter of teaching her not to jump up. And, you know, praising her when she does it right and a light reprimand when she does it wrong.
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks, Chloe. We appreciate the call. Our number is 800-348-2551. Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin is our guest today on Pets and Vets. And we go to Becky in Voorheesville. Becky.
Hi, Dr. O'Loughlin. This is Becky, and I'm calling about my dog, Tanner.
I heard.
No, another foreign body removed. So he was on some medications after the surgery, and one of them is, I can't remember the name of it. It starts with an E, but it's an antibiotic, and it comes in a chewable tab. And I misread the directions, and it says give two tabs once a day. I was giving him two tabs twice a day since Saturday. And he seems fine. He's not upset. He's healing wonderfully, but I didn't know if I should do anything about that or what.
No, I don't think you're going to hurt him with the extra antibiotic. It's just costly because that's probably enrofloxacin.
Yeah,
and that's not a cheap drug. But other than that, you're not going to hurt him with it. I mean, it might extra, you know, give him a little diarrhea, but, you know, he's a tough guy. So.
Yeah, it's fifth surgery in 3 years.
Yes, so. I know.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
A patient of yours?
He's a patient of mine. He's a very sweet dog who just had his, he likes to eat things he shouldn't.
And yeah?
Yeah, he had to have surgery. And
without disclosing too much HIPAA information, what did the dog eat?
I actually don't know. It was when I was on vacation.
Like a shoe or something?
I don't know.
Lawnmower? Okay. let's go to Haley in Canaan, Connecticut. Hello, Haley.
Hi, how are you?
Good, nice to have you here.
Yeah, so I have an 8-year-old pug. And he gets a lot of ear infections. And I was just wondering if there's any natural remedies that you might suggest.
Well, not really. Unfortunately, pugs, if you look in their ear canals, they mm-hmm. have about as many wrinkles in their ear canals as they do on their face. So they have these little tiny narrow ear canals, which don't let a lot of air in. So, you know, mm-hmm. it's a little tiny cave that's warm and tends to get a little moist, and then you get these ear infections. So preventative maintenance. So mm-hmm. just, I would say, regular cleaning. Mm-hmm. And if you want to go natural, you could do a little vinegar and water as a cleaner. Mm-hmm. But just trying to keep those ears as clean as possible.
Yeah, I've got a second dog, and she likes, I guess when I'm gone, she likes to lick in his ears.
Yeah. So which doesn't help, because then that adds the moisture. So.
No, exactly. Yeah. So I was just wondering if there were any other than taking him to the vet, if, you know, natural remedies.
Yeah, I would just, you know, if you can try keeping them clean, you know, just, I'm not a big, you know, cleaner of ears if they don't need it. But if you mm-hmm. have a dog that has chronic infections and you know that they tend to get stuff, you know, cleaning them 3 times a week, just as a mm-hmm. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, it's ear cleaning day kind of thing. And then if you're finding you're getting tons of debris, then it's time to go in and get some meds.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
All right.
Thanks, Haley. Our number on Vox Pop is 800-348-2551. And our guest today, Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin, Keith in Hageman. Keith, you're on.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. How are you guys doing today?
Good.
Okay.
Good. We have a 10-month-old Feist female rescue who was doing very well on house training. Our older dog had taught her to ring the bell on the back door to go out. And the last 3 or 4 days, she seems to backwards, peeing on the floor, peeing on the bed. And you got any clues as to what might be going? There's no health issues that we know of.
Well, that's the big question. If you have a dog who seems like they've been housebroken, and this is a female?
Yep.
Yeah.
And she's been spayed.
Yeah. So It could be one of two things. One is, well, it could be a couple of things, but one is it could be she has a bladder infection. Female dogs are more prone to getting bladder infections than male dogs just because of their anatomy. So if you have a female who was housebroken and is suddenly having little piddle accidents all over the place, then I would, you know, get her checked for a bladder infection. Number two, is it spots where she's lying and resting? Or do you feel like she's actually like squatting and peeing?
No, actually, last night when she peed on the bed, she was playing tug of war with our other dog with a toy, and she just stopped in the middle of playing and peed.
Okay, yeah. Then I would be most worried about a bladder infection. You know, if it was where she's just resting, some female spayed dogs can get a little incontinent, but it sounds to me more like she might have picked up an infection. So I would get her checked for that.
Okay. Even as young as she is, she might start to be incontinent?
Well, after the spaying, it can happen. It's pretty unusual that soon, but it can. I've seen young dogs have a problem.
All right. We'll get her checked by the vet.
All right.
Thanks, Keith. Even if the dog seems otherwise healthy, a bladder infection might
be? Sometimes they don't show any signs, and you check a urine for some other reason and you find they have an infection. But yeah, if they're suddenly, I mean, if they have just a bladder infection, they don't tend to act sick. They just feel like they got to pee all the time.
This one, by the way, came in via email from Robin, who writes, I just heard the vet say that there aren't reliable ways to test dogs and cats, I assume, for food allergies. My vet had said a blood panel can be done to indicate what allergens, food and environmental, the animal is sensitive to. Is this not true?
I guess I have to disagree with her vet, because I have been told over and over by the allergy experts that those blood tests are not reliable. They're fine for environmental allergies,
but food is a different story.
But not for food.
Okay. Well, thank you for that email. And we go back to the phones, and Anne in Stockbridge. Anne, you're on.
Hi. I just wanted to let you know, I just wonder your thoughts about medical marijuana, or I guess CBD oil for help for your dog, can be for anxiety, but also my older dog had trouble back in the heat wave in July and was having trouble breathing, and at night sometimes he'd have these attacks and, you know, gagging and stuff, and so I put him on the oil, and he was fine. It was like that was gone, you know, no problem at all. And so that was one. And I also wanted to get your opinion on acupuncture, because I've had a lot of good experience with that. For like the guy was talking about his dog, his lab, I think, who had hip problems. So I'm just curious if you're using any of those. My vet can't prescribe them, the CBD oil, but she said she thinks it's amazing.
Yes, I would have to agree with your vet. Technically, it is still, although you can go online and buy it, it is still listed by the FDA as a class one controlled drug, which is, you know, illegal.
Right.
It's in all the stores now.
I know. But as a veterinarian, I am not allowed to prescribe it.
Now, in Massachusetts, that's different, though, right?
It may be. But
I am in Mass.
Yeah. In New York, I'm not allowed to prescribe it. So I do know from stories, we've had some clients use it on their dogs and things, and I have heard some positive results. And same with acupuncture. I think acupuncture is a great way to go for certain things. Not, you know, it's not a cure-all, obviously, but certainly for arthritis, sometimes for the different allergies, and certainly any kind of nerve problems, back problems, things like that. Acupuncture can be fantastic. I don't personally do acupuncture, but we have a veterinarian near us that we will send our patients to.
And Anne, occasionally on Pets and Vets, we'll have Dr. Chris Dallas on, and she talks often about some of these alternative medicines and acupuncture and stuff. So be listening for the next Pets and Vets. I'm not sure if it's the next one or the one after that.
Where is that person?
I don't know exactly where Chris
is. I think she's
Saratoga. Maybe in Saratoga.
Saratoga. Okay.
All right, Anne. Well, thanks a lot.
Thanks so much.
Yep. Appreciate the call.
I have heard that the FDA is looking into taking CBD off the list.
And that's cannabis oil?
Yeah. Because they found some really good uses in people. I heard a story about a young kid who had horrible seizures, and then they put him on it. And
that I've heard. Now, what ailments in animals will you use it for?
Well, we had a client whose dog was seizing really badly, and it worked for that, for that dog. We've had people use it for a number of different things, from arthritis to, yeah.
And is there extensive scientific research, or is this all
anecdotal? No, I think
anecdotal?
It's all anecdotal. It's going to, there's going to be a lot of research that's going to have to be done to figure out. And of course, I think right now you could buy it online, but what are you getting? Is it the pure? Is it, it's one of those that you don't really know what you're getting.
Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin is our guest. The number is 800-348-2551. Pets and Vets is the program. We'll be back for the home stretch coming up. Fox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff with you. It's Pets and Vets today, and Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin of Del Mar Animal Hospital is our guest. The phone lines are loaded, and we'll get right back to them. This one is via email from Diana. Is there anything I can give my cats to help with a long car ride to and from Florida? It's a long drive.
Yeah. Honestly, I find most cats, once you get them in the car, and you're not just going 5 minutes to the vet or whatever, they tend to chill after a while. But I do find catnip. So if they like catnip, now not all cats like catnip. They have to actually have a catnip gene. I didn't know that. Yeah, if cats don't like catnip, it does nothing for them.
Some cats actually don't like catnip.
Yeah, they if they don't have that right gene in them, they don't care what it's like throwing grass in front of them.
That's amazing. Don't care.
But if they like catnip, you can get the loose catnip and sprinkle it in the cat carrier. There's also Feel Away. So Feel Away spray, which is a pheromone spray that you can buy online or at pet stores. And that soothes the cats and will often make them calm down.
All right, back to the phones we go. And Ellie in Gilderland. Ellie.
Yes. Hi.
Hi.
I have a 12-year-old cat who is extremely constipated. Three separate times I've had semi-emergency visits to the vet. The first one was a couple of years ago. He ate a shoelace and swallowed it. But more recently in May, just a few months ago, and then a couple of weeks ago, so where he's had a manual bowel extraction, enemas, once they hydrated him too. He's overweight, and he was prescribed lactulose, mm-hmm. which is very, very sticky, and I give it to him, she said, even three times a day, and he doesn't like to take it, so I don't necessarily give it to him three times a day, but it's not working. I mean, all week he's been miserable, and I feel like I have to go back to the vet again to get him manually extracted. I don't know.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard once they're constipated, so, if you can get the lactulose into him, and honestly, scary enough, you can put it up the other end and lubricate him that way. And that will sometimes help if he's really constipated. But once he's, once you're just doing this as a preventative, I know lactulose can be hard to get into them. Is he on a canned diet?
Now they switched him, to the Hill's Digestive Care ID, wet canned, and he's not too crazy about it. He'll eat it once in a while, but
A canned diet, and you can use Miralax powder, that also is a laxative as well.
Can I use both of them? Because the first visit they gave me the Miralax, and then the last two, which are more recent, the lactulose. So I switched from Miralax to lactulose, but can I use both?
You can use both. If he gets too much, he's just going to go the opposite way, and you'll have a kitty with diarrhea, and then you just know you need to back off. And then lastly, if all that fails, sometimes they can prescribe a medication called Sisapride, which helps stimulate movement in the colon to move the stool along. It is something that needs to be gotten through a compounding pharmacy because it's not available. It's a human drug that's no longer available from humans. I know our local compounding pharmacy says they have quite a stock of it. So we usually will prescribe that if the lubricants are failing.
All right.
It's called Sisapride.
Sisapride.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Good luck.
And we go to Dave in Norwich. Dave, you're on.
Hi, yes. I have a 14-and-a-half-year-old lab. He's had fatty tumors for a few years that really haven't interfered on anything. I noticed they're getting a little bit bigger slowly. And just recently, just 2 days ago, he developed a irritation of his vestibular nerve, and now he falls over. The vet put him on prednisone for a few days, and he's only on a second dose this morning, and I haven't noticed much of an improvement. I'm just wondering if this pretty much is the end for him, or what. He's been healthy pretty much all his life.
Well, if he has there's a syndrome called basically geriatric vestibular syndrome, where their eyes will start sort of flickering back and forth. Do you notice his eyes?
A lot of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is usually a temporary situation. It's a matter of getting them through the first 2, 3, 4 days of them being really off balance. Once his eyes stop jiggling around in his head, he will get much better. So, you know, it's a matter of nursing care, helping him walk, bringing food to him if need be. But no, they usually get over this. I get a lot of people that come into me in tears saying, oh, my God, my dog's had a stroke. This is the end. And
yeah.
And it's not necessarily. They usually get over it and life goes on. They will sometimes have a residual head tilt because once their body resets itself, sometimes it resets it with the head tilted and they think their head's on straight.
Okay.
But it's not. But they usually do get over it.
Well, Joe, thanks for the call. Let's go over to Sylvia in Greenfield, Mass. Sylvia, you're on.
Yes. Hi. Thank you so much for receiving my call. I have a cat. He's 4 years old now, and he got infected with fleas from the cat from my neighbor who had fleas for 7 months without telling anybody, and he infected the whole entire building. So this, I just noticed this situation with my cat about 2 weeks ago. I took him to the vet. He was treated with Revolution on the neck, and then they gave me Capstar, who are some capsules. And the problem here is that I am very allergic to chemicals. Therefore, my question is, are there any natural way of eliminating fleas?
Not great ones, no. Unfortunately not. You know, the one thing, if you're very sensitive to chemicals, one thing you might want to talk to your vet about is there is a flea product now that you do put on the back of the neck like you did the Revolution, but you only have to do it every 3 months. So you would only have to, you know, put up with the cat having something on its skin near you for, you know, a day, and then you wouldn't have to worry about the fleas for 3 months. And if the cat is indoors and it was just, you know, the building got infested, that probably would take care of it. But unfortunately, none of the, I mean, garlic and all these other things that, you know, some people will sprinkle diatomaceous earth all over their floors. You know, none of them work great.
So, well, he doesn't seem to have that many now after the treatment. At the vet, they combed the coat and everything.
Yep.
But and the medication seemed like it worked on him.
Right.
But the problem is that my apartment is all with rugs.
Right. Yeah. So the problem is in your carpets, not so much on the cat. It will, you know, if you treat the cat for several months, the cat will walk around and act as a flea magnet because the fleas that hatch out are going to want to jump on the cat versus jumping on you. They much prefer the cat. And you can use the cat as a way of killing off whatever remaining fleas are in your apartment. So as long as you keep the cat treated, the problem in the carpets will go away over several months.
All right, Sylvia, thanks a lot for the call. Our guest today is Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin of Del Mar Animal Hospital. Beth in Goshen is next. Beth. Hello? Beth?
Beth.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Hi.
So two quick questions. One is, so my 2.5-year-old Westie, he just hates when I brush his teeth, and I wondered if you had some sort of wisdom on that. And the other thing is he's chewing his two front paws, and I think it's a little bit of a habit, but I'm just worried that there's something actually wrong.
Okay. The brushing the teeth, besides trying to make it, a happy thing, you know, using treats or, you know, taking the toothpaste on your finger and giving it to him like a treat and getting him used to the taste of the toothpaste. And then slowly, I don't know if you use a regular toothbrush or a finger brush. Sometimes they'll tolerate the finger brush better.
I've kind of tried all that.
Yeah.
It just seems to like clamp down on the toothbrush,
Yeah. I mean, it's just, personally, I think sometimes it's just not worth the effort. There are a lot of doggy toothbrush treats out there now that you can use. There's a website, vohc.org. It's a veterinary oral health council.org. And they have a list of what they consider approved dental cleaning treats that they think work. So you can go to vohc.org. As far as the chewing on his paws, he's a Westie. They are a breed that are very prone to being allergic. So my biggest thing with him would be to look into allergies. I think he's probably got an allergy. So I would talk to your vet about that. And there are a lot of things that can be done.
All right, Beth, thank you.
Super. Thanks so much.
No problem.
Thanks for the call. The flavor of the toothpaste for the dogs?
Oh, they make like poultry flavor.
Well, they do. They have liver flavor and things
and
like that.
And actually mint. A lot of dogs like mint.
I'll be darned.
So. But you definitely want to use dog toothpaste. Don't use human toothpaste.
So Pepsodent and the like is
understand. You don't want the fluoride.
Allison in Hillsdale. Allison, you're on.
Hi, I have a cat that's about 9 years old. And about a month and a half ago, she started to, all of a sudden, randomly, she would like jump up and screech like she was in pain and run away. It's becoming more frequent. She's been having a hard time eating, so I've been giving her wet food mixed with water, and she can finally eat that. And I've treated her for fleas, and because I had called the vet, and that was what they said to do, to try to treat her for fleas. But it's not getting any better.
Well, I'd be a little concerned with the pain and then having trouble eating. So it probably wouldn't be a bad idea to have someone take a look in her mouth and make sure that she doesn't have something going on in there. The other thing is, how old is the cat?
Around 9.
Oh, all right. So, she could be having some pain. And if they're jumping up and running like that, in my mind, I think not so much arthritis pain, but some sort of a nerve pain.
Almost like it looks like she's getting zapped or something.
Right. And there are some things that can cause them to get things called hyperesthesia, where they get these sort of jabbing pains in their lower back.
Twitchy cat syndrome?
Yeah. Okay. So, and there are some medications that can help with that. But I would get her mouth checked and then see if they can, find anything wrong with their back end.
All right, Allison. Thanks a lot. Over to Brian in Rhinebeck. Brian.
Hi, I have a cat that's 22, 23 years old. She's in fairly good shape, but you could tell the age is just getting to her. And she's skinny. She's always been skinny. But I noticed lately she stumbles a little bit when she jumps up onto things. One day she's going to fall down and get busted up or something. But is there any nutrition-wise, is there something I should give her extra that could maybe help her along a little? I know she's old and any day now it could be the end, but it's got to be something I could probably to help her out.
Yeah, a lot of times, certainly at her age, a lot of older cats tend to lose potassium because I'm sure she's drinking and peeing more than she used to. I can't imagine at that age she's not. And so they tend to lose potassium, and potassium affects muscle strength. So they do make potassium powders and things that you can sprinkle on their food. Know one vet who worked with a lot of older cats. He says any cat over the age of 10, he recommends goes on potassium supplement. So you can't really hurt them with it as long as they're peeing because they're not going to get over you know, too much potassium is not good. But as long as they're urinating, then it's not going to hurt. And that might help with their muscle strength. The other thing would be to potentially talk to your vet about some arthritis treatment, because I know she's got arthritis at that age.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Good, so, good job.
Can I just buy that, or do I need a veterinarian to pick it up for me?
You could. I'm sure you can get it from your vet, but it is just a nutritional supplement, so it is something you could probably find online as well.
22 or 23?
Yeah.
That's a good run.
Oldest cat I ever saw was 27.
Wow. Yeah. What kind of cat?
Just your basic domestic house cat.
Yeah?
Yeah, she had a photo of her son holding the kitten with the date on it.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
All right, quickly over to Celine in Williamstown. Celine, we have about a minute and a half here for you.
I have a very short question.
Okay.
My 3-year-old Burmese male has started wheezing, mostly when he's lying down. And I'm wondering if it could be a result of the fact that his food dish was, I have since moved it, was near a place that was infected with mold and mildew.
I mean, it could be. I don't know that I've ever seen a cat get a lung infection from mold. But as a 3-year-old, certainly he's of that age where he could be developing some
asthma
or allergies.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So I should go to the vet about this?
Yeah, I would get him checked.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And let's quickly go to Joe. Joe, you have about 30 seconds. Joe in Chester.
Okay, short question. I have a 5-year-old chocolate lab and excessive licking. It'll lick people, not itself, but people all the time. You can yell at it and it turns, and turn away. Is there any hints?
Oh, boy. Yeah, some labs, boy, they're them and their mouths. They love to. I guess I would try and find a treat or a toy that he likes to hang on to and just keep giving him that every time he tries to lick a person.
Okay.
All right.
We'll try it.
Good luck.
Thanks, Joe. Amazing, doctor. We got through every call on this program. Woo-hoo! This has never happened before. It's a banner day. Well, thank you, Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin, for being here. Support comes from Temple Sinai, Saratoga Springs, New York, an open congregation welcoming the Jewish community and visitors for Shabbat, holiday services, religious school, cultural programs, and more. 518-584-8730, option 2. Capital Car Share, a nonprofit car sharing network in the Capital Region, offering neighborhood transportation with a fleet of eco-friendly vehicles, capitalcarshare.org, for donations and information. Windy Hollow Veterinary Clinic, Montague, Massachusetts. Conventional and integrative veterinary medicine, including acupuncture, comprehensive pet care, and health services since 1998. WindyHollowVet.com. And Rhinebeck Artist Chops, professional picture framing and fine art materials, Rhinebeck, New Paltz, at 793 Broadway in Kingston, RhinebeckArt.com. Thanks again to Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin for being here. Thank you for listening. Thanks to everybody who called, and there were a lot of you today. Thanks to our engineer, Zach Malloy. Your phones were answered by Carol Lapani, and our producer is Jim Lavoulis. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, it's always an exciting day when the gardeners return, and that's what will happen at 2 p.m. tomorrow on Vox Pop. Get your questions ready. Stand by now for news.